Hello, extra time.
Very important to the league not to get a hold because it damages your reputation. It makes people, when they read it, just laugh at you.
The single club, they're playing in the League One, and they're playing in the Europa League, and they're credit.
Welcome to the ExtraTime.ie Sportscast for the second podcast this week. That's right, we're back with a bonus podcast to preview the First Division. As we love it oh so much, we're joined by Shamrock Rovers 2 expert Mokhtara Ferris and rest of the First Division expert Andrew Dempsey. Later in the show, we'll be speaking to Longford goalkeeper Lee Stacey and Alan Murphy, Galway boss, to look ahead to the season and how their respective teams are going
to
get on.
What we probably have to do is start with the new kids in town, Shamrock Rovers 2. I believe they're from Talla, Mokhtara, is that right?
They are, yeah. Like the only way you were going to get me on to talk about the First Division was to put Shamrock Rovers, put a Shamrock Rovers team in the First Division.
Well, I'll preface this with the fact that the three of us actually in this room during our Advent podcast, which are still available to listen to if you scroll back only a couple of weeks. I think technically in season one, I don't believe in this season stuff. It's just an ongoing...
I didn't understand that.
I don't know. Look, okay, everyone loves to put seasons on it for some reason.
We're about season nine of
7 years.
Now?
7 years it took us to get to season two, apparently. Well, I came in and pushed it on after about 2 years or something. But the whole point was the three of us in this room talked about the A Championship, a reserve league made up for just this kind of thing, the Shamrock Rovers B2, whichever one you want to go with. And we did we don't want to sort of just repeat that, so we'd be careful not to go over too much of the same stuff, but we probably should, for those who haven't listened in, reiterate, like, is there enough pros in this to outweigh the cons? Because what they've done is pissed off the whole rest of the First Division.
Yeah, I think, take a step back, I think it was back in October that Shamrock Rovers put an application or discussed with the FAI putting a B team or a two team. In the First Division. So it was prior to, you know, all the talk about whether Limerick would have a team or not. And the reason why Rovers are trying to do it is they're looking at player development and having a pathway for their players. They don't want to, you know, past seasons they've sent players on loan to First Division clubs and actually to other Premier Division clubs as well. And what they want to do is they want to have a pathway for the younger players that when they get players in, they can see that there's a pathway into the first team, because of course we've talked about the difficulty of that gap after the under 19. So this is an opportunity for them to get players in. That they're in and around Roadstone, so the first team coaches can see them. But it's also about kind of protecting their investment. So if you think one of the players that made first team appearance for Rovers is James Furlong, who's gone on to Brighton and Hove Albion, and so he wasn't on a pro contract at Rovers, and he went over across the UK. And as the other clubs would know, if that's the case, you pick up some money, but it's not kind of significant. And I know there were clubs looking to maybe sign the likes of Dean Williams, who played in the First Division on loan with Athlone and with Bray and scored a lot of goals last year. And so Rovers have got him. He's still involved as well. And then it also allows them the opportunity to put players through education in Asheville College, so they'll go to that in the afternoon, having trained in the morning. So maybe what's changed in the last couple of weeks, because Andrew can talk about maybe the First Division clubs and you know, some valid reasons as to why they're not particularly happy with this. It is different from 2014 when Rovers did it before. The academy structure is completely changed from back in 2014 when they really didn't have anything, had anything like that. But the discussion now, it seems that players, that the Rovers team in the First Division will only play players that are either, I think, under 21. Now, I'm a little bit unsure as to whether that will include the likes of Dean Williams and Sean Callan, who are listed in Rovers' Premier Division team and have squad numbers, as to whether they will be able to play in the First Division team. But the talk of, you know, Sean Kavanagh or Jack Byrne, you know, dropping down and playing, I think that seems to be the compromise that they're talking about. But we're recording here on Monday.
Yeah.
The fixture's on Friday and we still haven't heard.
And this is one of the big cons, and Andrew, I'll bring you in on this actually, because this is one of the big cons that I think it was even Vinnie Perth at the start of the season had said that he totally sees the advantage of it and would love the option himself, but that he can see the huge problem with this. And as Mokhtara mentioned, there are these players allowed play Premier, First Division. For example, if whoever you use, I think Vinny, the example Vinny used was a goalkeeper. If a goalkeeper needed a bit of fitness, came in, they dropped him into the reserves for a bit, or the B team for a bit, and then they take him out and he doesn't play for the rest of the season, that can kind of skew things a little, you know what I mean? That can really make it, it can take from the value of the competition. And I think, apart from, well, there's probably quite a few points that the clubs are annoyed about, but that certainly seems a huge one.
Yeah, that's one, but I think the main one that the clubs are quite annoyed about is the lack of communication from the FAI. Like, I suppose that their argument is that for something as big as, you know, allowing a reserve team in the case of Shamrock Rovers, is why weren't they consulted before?
Yeah.
I know, I think in the rules it actually does state that they shouldn't be, but I suppose it's a special kind of situation here. It doesn't happen regularly enough. And then I get the, you see the arguments like, oh, why should we stop Shamrock Rovers? Like, why should there be a B team? You have to remember, there's only two leagues in this country. It's not Germany we're talking about. Yeah. So that's another one. But so it's the lack of communication with the FAI, which is the big issue between all the clubs, really.
Yeah, and you can see as well as that, the FAI's, you know, how they were sort of stuck with this, because the mess that had been created by Limerick and the situation there, and the ongoing disputes between your man himself and the FAI about licences and about what would be allowed to go forward, and the introduction of Limerick United / Treaty United, which, again, look, if you're listening in and you're looking for a little bit of a recap on this, we'll get into this in a bit more detail later in the season, because we don't want to spend the whole First Division preview talking about a team who aren't even bloody in the division anymore. But you can see where the FAI were kind of put in a bad corner, but it just, again, seems to have sort of summed up huge problems that we have with not just the First Division, but the Premier, this sort of lack of communication, this sort of nobody knowing what's actually going on, this sort of, you know, making snap decisions like this when really they haven't really gauged a reaction, and what we have is a sort of soured beginning to the season as a result.
You know? Definitely around the First Division clubs, because I think only some of them came to the launch of the league. I think what you also have to factor in that this is all going on at a time. This was all going on at a time when it looked like the FAI potentially could go bust. It looked like huge amounts of...
Well, that was Shane Ross's guess, yeah, anyway.
Well,
guess.
Well, potentially there was going to be you know, a round of significant redundancies. So just before, you know, Roy Barrett got appointed, before the new interim CEO, before Niall Quinn came in as deputy. So all this was happening in around the same time. Significant discussions about to the very future, if not survival of the FAI. I don't think it was ever going to come to that and so approved. But that certainly didn't help the position because the FAI were pretty weak at that time. And I would, there's certainly a valid point about, you know, what input the other First Division clubs have. But in 2014, there wasn't any of that type of discussion. But maybe there should have been. I think I think probably the clubs are looking at it now going that, the way Rovers are structured with the academy, they can kind of see that this isn't a short term, which it probably was before, and Rovers were almost filling a gap at that time when there was two Galway clubs that ended up got amalgamated. So, but yeah, it has left a bit of a sour taste. To say we like, it took, I think, when were the fixtures were only released a couple of days ago, last week,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I was really looking forward to seeing the Shield, and now it's gone, you know.
Well, let's talk about, in terms of Shamrock Rovers, we've talked enough about the issues behind them. I think I'm right in saying Aidan Price is going to be managing the team. Let's talk about their squad and what they'll have to pick from. As you said, it's a little bit hard to judge at the moment, but there's got to be some good, talented individuals. And apart from maybe one or two you would have mentioned there, anyone we'd have seen in the first team knocking about it all?
Yeah, so the bones of this team compared to 2014, where they ended up actually signing a number of players, Chris Lyons included at the time, who had league experience elsewhere. This will be predominantly their under-19 team and maybe players that were in the under-19 team last year that had that are now overage. I think probably Sinclair Armstrong is probably one that people might remember played in the FAI Cup in 2018 when Drogheda United First Division knocked Rovers out at the time, so he made his debut at 16, so he's been playing with the under 17 and the under 19 team, so he's probably maybe one to do. Keane Clark is the essentially the third choice goalkeeper at Rovers, and he's very well regarded. I've seen him play a couple of times, so he's likely to be the player, unless Rovers might be able to drop Leon Poles in, who's the reserve goalkeeper behind Anamanis. So there are a number of the former Rovers under 19 players that are now in the first team squad. So the likes of Alex Dunn, who's the defender, he played in a couple of the pre-season games, played in the game against Lucan that lasted about 70 minutes before the rain came in and they cancelled that one. Sean Cannon I mentioned, and he played in the first couple of first team appearances off the bench late last year, and Thomas Alou is another one. So but it remains to be seen and say whether they're going to be in that first division squad or not. But yeah, Aidan Price, who managed Rovers under 19 team last year, is going to be the manager.
So that'd be a safe assumption, I would say, in that case. Andrew, then let's look at some of the rest of the field here, because Drogheda are marginal favs, having a look at what the bookies have to say. But you've got Galway, Longford and Bray all very close in behind them, and I find it very difficult to split them, actually. I don't think it's as simple as leaning towards Drogheda, maybe just because they looked slightly better toward the end last year. Am I all right in saying that?
Maybe, but you have to remember Drogheda after losing Luke McNally during the off season, which he scored 9 goals for them. So look, that's a considerable amount of goals you're going to lose.
You could probably make nearly the opposite point, a swing for Longford, given that they brought in Manley as well.
Yeah, he scored, I think, was it 17 league goals last season? Yeah. 18 in total if you include the game, goal he scored in the cup. But I think. Drogheda have actually kept their front line together. Mark Doyle, Chris Lyons, and I'm actually forgetting the other one. But you know, look, they have Adam Wickstead, Wickstead. Drogheda have a very good front line as well. So it's like, I suppose they've lost 9 goals in Luke McNally, but they still have that front three, it's dangerous. Like,
yeah, that's probably maybe what you will say above some of the rest of the teams coming in here, is this proven depth in there. Although I'd say Longford aren't too far away in that. When it comes to Galway and Bray, I mean, Galway have done well in terms of adding some, a little bit like Shells did last year, some Premier League experience, the likes of Duggan coming in there. You know, you would have to think when Rallon Murphy, it's been a bit of a resurgent. They've had to, what was it called? Project DNA, I think they were calling it.
I saw one of their matches in pre-season down in M&DC Park, and they were very good that night. They've brought a lot of young players in, some who got a little bit of experience towards the end of the season. So there's a certain sense of optimism, but it's a young enough squad. But having someone like Shane Duggan to come in is really, really important. So you get that mix of youth and experience. So I don't know whether they'll be able to. Certainly, I think Drogheda are probably the favourites for me. Longford, I think, will be quite strong as well. And when are we writing off Kevin Thiele?
Yeah, I mean, let's
doing it right now, aren't we?
Yeah, well, again, it kind of connects with Manly, as I said, about Longford. Is it fair to write them off to the extent they have been? I mean, they're way down there. They're probably only just above Wexford and Athlone in terms of, you know, so I know we're going sort of off bookie prices here, but like, you know what I mean? Often that's how you kind of gauge what the general thought is around it. They're being totally written off. Is that fair? Just on the back of, have they lost more than Manly?
Well, they've lost Jack Chute as well, which is, it's a big loss as well. There's Jack Watson as well. He's after going to their rivals Bray. So, look, that's obviously not going to be a nice thing to do, obviously losing one of your players to one of your rivals. But now, look, they brought in a few players, and they've actually managed to keep some of them from last year who I would have rated quite highly. Paul Fox, for one, he's very impressive. And Connor Keighley as well. I don't think we can underestimate his influence on that defence. He's... Not only is he an absolute unit, he's very, very good. And obviously, Stephen McGuinness is gone, but they've brought in Michael Kelly, ex-Longford. He was at Bohemians for a spell at the end of last season. He was in England after he left Longford looking for a club, and it never really seemed to happen. But now he's back, and he'll be a big help. And then there's Corey Chambers as well, who isn't actually bad either. So.
Yeah. Would it be fair though? Like, would you put them so far off those four teams we mentioned? I'm conscious that we haven't talked too much about Bray, so I do want to give them a mention as well. But are Cabo so far off these teams?
Not at all. I don't think so. I think maybe if there was only the 3 playoff spots, I wouldn't consider them playoff contenders. But given that there's 4 playoff spots, I don't see why they can't. You know, they last year everyone expected them maybe to falter around the summer, which they somewhat did with the players. Obviously, a lot of them had to do their leaving certs, which is a bit of a unique kind of thing that Cabin Teely had last season in regards to the other clubs. But I think, you know, I don't think you can write them off for the last playoff position anyway. I don't think they'll be at the top of the table, but they'll certainly be looking for that spot.
One player, actually, I meant to, when we're talking about Galway, I just want to shoehorn a mention in for the Spaniard they've signed, Alberto Cabañas. Did a little bit of research on that. Did the old watching the couple of the YouTube clips with, you know, absolutely dreadful. It's not even Evanescence when it gets that far down the visions.
What was the soundtrack to it?
Oh, it's like unnameable. 90s club music, you know what I mean? It's just beats. If whatever the opposite of lo-fi chilled hip-hop beats that on YouTube, that playlist thing is, that's what it was. But he, my goodness, this player likes a dig. If you go back, you can find even clips like, you know, the Guardian will often do like goals of the week, and they collect them all up, and you can go back far enough and find, I think he was playing with, was it Espanyol there, one of the B teams basically in Spain, and it's the same thing, lovely passing move, gets in, he seems to like to come inside and dig. So look out for a couple of
The wind might catch a few of those things.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was going for.
Just, you were talking about Michael Kelly, the goalkeeper. I think he was with Shamrock Rovers B team in 2014.
He was himself, and I think Conor O'Malley, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The two of them. Yeah.
What about Bray then? I don't want to neglect Bray.
They've lost Hugh Douglas. I think
he's a huge loss. Yeah.
I think that's a really great signing for United.
That's about a player that's been there for such a long time and maybe been treated badly enough when you think back to
the injuries. I think he was a bit unhappy that he wasn't re-signed. Am I right in picking
that? Surely.
And he was their player of the year, I think.
Mm. So. It seems mad. It seems very strange. Nonetheless, though, Andrew, they're given a strong chance here. Like,
I think so, yeah.
Is it just because of that nice away jersey that I really like?
The home one isn't bad either, I don't think.
Yeah, the away one is...
I like the home one as well. But
the away one has a you know, nice seaside vibe to it, which is funny because their beach is absolutely atrocious. It's not got seaside vibes at all, Bray. But without banging on about that too much, in terms of their team, like, they are being sort of, not, I wouldn't say hyped up, but
going in under the radar.
A little bit under the radar, while still being well fancied. And off the bat, I'd have been like, I thought Cabo might maybe be slightly a touch ahead, considering, as you said, some of the losses in the team. But to be fair, they still are looking pretty strong. Like.
Yeah, and I suppose towards the end of last season as well, Bray kind of hit a bit of a purple patch after they lost to Cabin Teely. I think they may have gone 7 or 8 games unbeaten at the end of the season, which is no easy feat in the first division. So, I actually saw Bray play against Shelburne in pre-season friendly, and Bray ended up winning 1-0, and they were, you know, if they were full value for their win, they probably could have won by more as well. So there's two young players on that side. Andrew Moran, I think he's off to some club in England in the summer. So he's...
Watch him before he goes.
Exactly. In fairness, he still is only like 15, 16, but still, he's one to watch. And then Lee Kavanagh as well. I think he's off as well. So, look, they're going to... Like, granted, they probably might not play every game, but they're two players that they're exciting. And if they're given a chance, they could, on occasion, rip up the first division if they wanted to.
Right, we'll leave it there for the time being. We'll pick up the rest of the teams after we listen to a chat I had earlier on today with Alan Murphy. Well, we're joined by Galway's Alan Murphy right now. Alan, an interesting few years for the tribesmen. You've had relegation from the Premier Division, sort of reduced budget as a result, some restructuring, some fanciful takeover talk at one point as well. And more recently, the project of sort of nurturing more local talent. But this year, it's been suggested that you've, with some of the experienced heads you've brought in, you're in with a fairly decent chance of promotion.
Cheers for having me, guys. It's been up and down in the last few years. It's been, really unstable at times and very changeable. So, I suppose that's kind of where I'm coming from with the new, philosophy that I have in terms of last year and my kind of stabilizing the club and making sure that we rewarded our youth and we had a really identifiable pathway through to the first team. I think that has been well established now. And I suppose last year was very difficult at times. It was a very young squad and it lacked experience. So I mean, this year we've been fortunate enough to kind of be able to, I suppose, marry both. So we've We've a good considerable amount of players that have come from come with us from last year, and we've brought in some experienced heads. I think it was 21 players that are either from Galway or from the county beside Galway, and I think we have something like 16 players that have already played for the club. So I mean, it's not dramatic or anything like that, but it's slowly adding and trying to grow. Yeah.
You spoke to one of our reporters, Tom O'Connor, about Project DNA, which is essentially the project name for what you've sort of referenced and I referenced earlier, the nurturing more local talent. And I understand that was more down to necessity because of budgetary restraints. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was. It was definitely down to necessity. It was it was looking at the whole picture and see, I suppose, what was needed at the time and where we need to go. And I mean, unfortunately, probably in going the last few years, we've been I suppose we've been trying to get that quick fix solution to trying to get out back into the Premier or trying to have success and I suppose buying it in and getting players a whole draft of new players into the club for 9 months and then unfortunately failing in the last 2 years and then the players move off and they've kind of no tie to the area and that. So I mean, it needed to change. I suppose when I came in, I identified that and I looked at it and went, look, we need to bring up the good lads that we have because we've got some very good guys at underage and the work that's happening. So we did that and we've promoted a good few and we've given them experience last year. But look, I mean, it's fine, but I think the club deserves also to be competitive in terms of the fan base and I mean it's a big club and it's a big city. So I suppose we're trying to marry both and push with what we have from last year and also a few names that are coming back in with us and then trying to get that experience that we're lacking last year and that other teams had, I suppose, that was identifiable. Yeah.
For something like that, I suppose, starting from scratch with a sort of new project, how do you go about that? Is it just trials and recruitment around local sort of academy schools, all that kind of thing?
Yeah, I wish it was as easy as that, to be honest. No, I mean, first of all, I suppose we'd really have to sit down and go where we wanted to go with it. And I suppose, fortunately enough, I suppose I personally, I've been in Galway for the guts of 20 years in terms of League of Ireland football. So, I mean, I definitely know the area well, and I know that there's talent there. I would have seen a lot of the school's talent in Connacht and in, I suppose, across Ireland in the last 8 or 10 years, really, from my occupation, and I would have obviously seen, I suppose, all those players coming through and playing League of Ireland, be it like the John Mahons in Sligo, to be it the Ryan Mannings to go to England, or loads of players in between that, in terms of like Ferrugian and Rovers, all these types of players that would have come through that system. And I mean, that's, I suppose, that kind of gave me the comfort that we're doing things right and we know what we're looking at. And as I say, you can't have a team of them, but I think you need to base yourself on them, yeah.
Yeah, and as you said, you've brought in some more experienced hands. I suppose a couple of recognisable names from the Premier Division. I'm thinking Schlingerman and Duggan obviously stand out, but there's, you know, a couple of other names in there who obviously going to help you along the way. How important is it to have that kind of blend?
Yeah, it's hugely important. Look, at that, that's key in terms of the off-season. And I keep saying it, that our off-season kind of started maybe 2 or 3 months before the season finished. And that recruitment had already started, and we're lucky enough to be able to bring in the likes of Shane Duggan and Sligerman and Josh Smith and Dino Holleran and like a few of those players that I've done a lot of work on in terms of their I suppose their honesty and application and what they're going to bring to Galway. That they're not just coming here for a payday or for just to jump around from club to club, and they're definitely not. Like, I mean, I look at, I suppose, specifically Dino Holleran's case, like, where I worked with him for the last kind of 4 or 5 months, really, and just once the season was finished, and I mean, he relocated here with his girlfriend, and we secured a job for him, and she also now has a job, and I mean, he's buying into the whole thing. It's not just a kind of we'll see how we get on for 6 or 7 months. You know, there's ambition there, and I can say the same thing for Mikey Place coming back down, and the boys from last year, the likes of Stephen Christopher, Killian Bruder, Jack Lynch, and Keane Murphy. I mean, those guys are definitely buying into what I'm about and what the club is about. And I mean, it's refreshing. Yeah.
of all the names there, I suppose people will recognise quite a few of them, but one that stands out as a less recognisable is Alberto Cabañas. He's going to, I imagine, excite supporters who will be expecting a little bit of flair when it comes to signing a player from Spain more often than not. From the footage I've been able to track down anyway, including some sort of, as always is the case with these YouTube videos, some bad backing vocal tracks or whatever, some dodgy beats. There seems to be quite a lovely couple of dinked goals and chipped goals. I think Deportivo B was one of them that stood out. But it looks like he's going to be able to add that sort of extra bit of flair, maybe. How's that come up? How's that come to happen, I suppose? And how do you expect to get the best out of Alberto?
Well, I mean, in terms of the recruitment of it, I mean, he was a funnier one. I mean, if one said we didn't have to do as much work on him, but he kind of fell into us a little bit more than having to go and actually recruit him, because he's actually living here in Galway. So he moved to Galway not long ago, and his sister lives in Galway here, so he works in the hospital. As I say, it was a little bit more smooth in terms of a lot of the ones where, you know, if you bring in someone, you have to relocate them, and there's accommodation, and there's just the general logistics issues. But and also the fact that you need to be able to assess them before you want, I suppose, before you make that offer and want them. So Alberto is a little bit different. I could see him here playing in Galway at a local level, and he just, I mean, there's huge potential there. He needs to get to know the league, obviously, and but he has settled in. I mean, he's here for. He's here for a good few months now. I mean, and he's I mean, that initial kind of a settling period is probably done for him. So it's good, and he's hopefully going to be able to hit the ground running. Yeah.
Before we, I suppose, stick to the football ahead of you, we probably just have to stick. We'll just have to talk a little bit on the thorny issue of Shamrock Rovers 2 or B. I'm not quite sure how you feel about it yourself. I mean, we've talked to a couple of different players, and we've talked ourselves a bit about the sort of pros and cons. I suppose, how has it affected your team? Has it affected preparation at all? And what's your opinion on this coming about in what felt a little bit knee-jerk and without consulting clubs?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it didn't affect us at all in terms of players-wise. I mean, because they'd be pretty sheltered from that, and they'd be kind of upon their own business in terms of the daily and the weekly kind of training and preparing themselves for the first game. So that didn't really usually do anything to us. But in terms of, I mean, my opinion on it, I mean, I spoke to Niall Quinn last week at the launch in Galway here about it, and it was I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if I suppose I won't say the loopholes, or the agreements were there, and I mean, I don't think anyone broke any laws or any kind of rules. I mean, they applied and they got in and that. So I mean, we need to move on. We need to start the league and start it properly and have a structure that's good. And I don't think that it wouldn't have been a good structure in terms of a team playing every playing for 4 weeks and then having a week off. So yeah. I mean, in terms of that, I think it's good. Does it give Shamrock Rovers an advantage going forward for this year? Probably does in terms of for the year. But I mean, I think speaking to Niall Quinn about it, I think they'll readdress that pretty quickly, and they wouldn't like to. I can see that they wouldn't like to have a situation like that again, where a lot of the clubs would be talking about boycotting and that. So I mean, it's never good, but I think we need to move on forget about the errors of the past and just fix them and move on. You know.
Yeah, I suppose it's more the unsurety of what the outcome is going to be with that may have caused any sort of question in mind and delays with fixtures and stuff like that. But thankfully, that is all sort of wrapped up now, and you can just get on looking ahead.
Get on
looking ahead to the season ahead, and it is a pretty interesting table at the moment. We've talked through each of the team's chances already earlier on today, and how even you know how people are seeing it, how the bookies are seeing it, all that kind of thing. It looks a lot more open this year, I suppose, when you don't have an obvious team like Shelburne would have been last year. Everyone's kind of favourite to go up at the time. It is quite open, though. I mean, you could very much see from top to maybe 6-7 easily being swapped around. How much more difficult are you expecting it to be this year?
Look, there's a lot of competitive squads in it, but I think that was the same last year, really. I mean, if you look at this year and you go, I mean, there's I don't even want to go talking about any teams in specifically, really, but I mean, I suppose Drogheda, I would say, because of their performances last year, would probably be rightly so the favourites. So, I mean, they'll probably set the bar, but but after that, I mean, we look at Cabinteely last year, and again, I think they did very well, and I mean, they were thereabouts for a long time, and I mean, I think anyone can do that really in the league if they get a little bit of momentum. But at the moment, we're to be honest, it's not a cliche. We're looking at ourselves really, and we're just looking to perform in the first game and see how it goes after that, because I don't think we can, I don't think any team really can afford to start planning ahead, really. I mean, it's first division football, so anything can happen of a week, and we've seen that throughout the season last year. Probably we should have beaten Shelburne the first game of the season. When we look back at it, we're a really, really inexperienced team at home, and just, I suppose, it being 2-0 up, and then just not having that bit of quality or a bit of experience to lock it down. And as I say, I think on the night, I wouldn't say that anyone would have denied us a victory on that one.
Yeah, looking at last season, I suppose, is there a couple of things, or maybe one thing specifically, that stands out in terms of trying to improve this year? I thought at times maybe it was just scoring away, although I don't think the record is all that bad. I think it was maybe like 15 in 13 away games or whatever it would have been, but I think maybe there's one or two elements like that. You wonder, is that, you know, you set that right, maybe you pick up a few more points on the road and kick yourself up a little bit further.
Yeah, well, look, personally, last year, I mean, we were, again, this is no disrespect to the group last year, but we were usually inexperienced, and we were usually, I suppose, it's like, if we look at it, I think did we lose 9 or 10 games by a goal, like, you know, and I mean, that says enough. I mean, it says probably that we were really, really well organized, and we were competitive, and we were, you know, we weren't far off, but we again, probably just didn't have enough of the facets of, we'll say, as I say, experienced players and yeah, goals at times, absolutely. I mean, but it was probably the fact that we were probably trying to become a little bit more competitive in every game, so we may have, in terms of I suppose territorially, we may have sat back a little bit and maybe not have had that cutting edge, you know.
First game of the season, then, you're at home to Athlone. You'd be strong favourites for this one. What can we expect to see from you guys here?
I'd hope for an event anyway. First of all, I think there's the public, I'd hope that they'll come out to support the team. And I suppose a lot of identifiable players from Galway and coming back and maybe playing their first games for Galway, like the Timmy Malloy, you know, from coming back from UCD. And that's, I mean, I'd hope that there's a good core of the Galway contingent to come out again on the night. I mean, it's first game of the season. If you look back at the Premier Division last week, all 1-0 wins, like, I mean, so it's I expect it to be tight. I expect for the teams to be trying to learn a little bit about each other, I suppose, on the move, like, you know, because you can't really assess what's gone in pre-season. So I mean, look, if we'll really look after ourselves, and we'll try and perform to our own abilities, and hopefully that looks after us after everything, you know.
Great stuff. Well, Alan, thanks so much for taking the call. Very best of luck for the season ahead.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Daniel Carr, great to have you on. Are you enjoying your time here so far?
Yeah, so far I've been loving it. I mean, yeah, I've been loving it so far.
Yeah, will I give that one another go? The phone fall, did it?
Yeah.
Log on to extratime.ie.
What about then, I suppose, there's a couple of teams a cup below that. You would say UCD, a fair bit in transition. I think we talked about them at the end of last season. There's a lot gone on there over the last little while, so it's hard to give them much of a chance here. This is going to be a bit of a rebuild. Are Cove the same? I can't say, I can't pretend to know a whole lot about Cove here. I would have watched them in part last season. But you, I mean, you said to me you wouldn't have completely written Cove off even.
No, and I think that probably just goes down to the four playoff positions as well. I think they have the potential to be up there. I think they kept the majority of last season's squad together, and they brought in, obviously, Pierce Phillips from Cork, and John Kavanagh as well, who's Premier Division experience to his name. So they certainly can push towards the top end of the table, and, like, look, going into Cove is never easy as well. I suppose Dundalk found that out in the League Cup maybe 2018, I think, and look, even Shells last season, they lost twice at St. Colman's Park. So I suppose if they can put that fear factor into St. Colman's and then maybe pick up a good result or two on the road, they could be up there.
Would it be a little bit denigrating UCD to start calling them Shamrock Rovers C?
I don't know now.
I'm just reeling it. I know. To be honest, I know, that's out of order. Yeah, I apologise for that comment immediately. Think, but you know what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah, no, I think as regards to UCD this season, I think it's, I don't really know what to expect from them, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think they've brought in three new players that are going to play for their League of Ireland team. So it's Michael O'Keane coming in from Bohemians under-19s. He would have played in the McGuill Cup final against Shamrock Rovers in November. Colin Whelan's coming in with some serious pedigree. He scored, I think, almost about 30 goals last season in the under-19 league. He's one to watch out for. He's obviously already caught the eye in pre-season. And Michael Gallagher as well from Finn Harps. He's they're obviously all studying UCD. I think he's a former Ireland under-19 international. So, yeah, there's, you know, they're kind of coming in as an unknown quantity, even though I suppose they've lost so many players during the off-season as well. Obviously, our friend Conor Kearns is gone, Liam Scales is gone. There's just been so much change there, and you just don't know what to expect.
Well, this is exactly why. Look, my dig was more at Shamrock Rovers, let me explain, than UCD. Well, so don't be getting annoyed at me for that. But
the Shamrock Rovers B team was always called St. Pat's last season, but Stevie O'Donnell has...
That's taking the heat off me.
Yeah, exactly. But Stevie O'Donnell has... what are they calling it? The Pat's Purge, I think. Brendan Clark started the other night rather than Conor Kearns, which I thought was interesting because... Yeah. There's a few of the maybe more senior players that Pat's have been frozen out. But anyway, that's me.
We'll get on to that. Yeah, back in your box, you.
Yeah, well, we know why Andrew's here. He's bringing good.
Division
He's bringing good first division knowledge here.
Yep, massively is. And with that, then, we're going to have to turn it over completely to Andrew for this, because all I can say, really, looking at Wexford and Athlone, is that they will have pretty long, miserable seasons ahead of them again. Like, I mean, you talk to me off air a little bit about Athlone, which I thought was quite interesting, the idea of sort of localising it again. I mean, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would have spoken to their new manager, Adrian Carberry, I think maybe a week or so after he got installed as their new manager, and I suppose what struck me from speaking to him was that he wanted to bring Athlone back to Athlone, and I suppose the last few years I think Athlone may have been training in Dublin all the time, so I suppose that's the whole idea about that. And obviously, look, they're after bringing in... Look, they haven't really brought in many big names. Maybe Joel Coustrain from Shamrock Rovers, but apart from that, they haven't really brought in maybe the same caliber of players as the rest of the first division clubs have. But look, granted, that is probably budgetary constraints that haven't actually allowed them to do that. But I suppose, like, look, they at Lund, they just desperately need something to reinvigorate themselves.
And what you said there, bringing it sort of home, it is more. That kind of thing. I mean, we talked about the history Athlone have again in the Advent podcast when they played Milan and stuff like that. There's a great history there. It's a shame to kind of see that stuff like that can be sort of brushed aside so easily sometimes with this kind of stuff. But starting, as you said, at home, it's a good place, Athlone. It is the kind of place you'd attract people down to
Nice stadium.
The town itself is quite a good little place for attracting people down. I mean, you get stags and all that kind of stuff down there as well. But you know what I mean? I
don't quite know where you go with this.
You can convince the stag parties, do a deal. No, I'm just saying more so that it's a good spot for, if they can, as you said, reinvigorate the club. It's a good spot to have it all based. Right, let's not leave Wexford completely out of this. Andrew,
Wexford faithful.
Yeah. I mean, we had it on the Premier Division show. Yeah. So, yeah. Look, I promise we'll interview someone from Wexford. That's all I can say at some point. Is it really just between them and Athlone trying to stay off the bottom for the sort of embarrassing castaway spot?
I suppose it's looking like that, isn't it? But then, look, Wexford, maybe I'm bigging up teams here for no reason, but, like, obviously, Wexford, after bringing in a lot of some of the old UCD players, obviously, Dan Tobin's after gone, he's got maybe, I think, over 120 League of Ireland, senior League of Ireland appearances for UCD. Tom Murphy as well, he was at Everton for a spell, under this Conor Crowley for... Look, I suppose for reasons probably not his fault, maybe just given how strong the UCD midfield was, he never got a chance to play with UCD. So he's one to keep an eye out for. And there's a lot of under-19s players that are, I suppose Brian O'Sullivan seems to be giving them a chance. And I suppose, look, they're probably going to try and follow the Capantilli template for 2020. But it's probably easier said than done. We'll see how it goes. I'm not expecting Wexford to be up near the near the playoff positions, but if they are, look, Joe, I probably wouldn't be surprised.
McTara's egging me on to say Shamrock Rovers D here after that UCD comment, but I'm not going to say it. Right, well, look, that's as much as we can do given the fact that we've had a couple of days to look ahead the fixtures. We'll speak to Lee Stacey next and then maybe round up a couple of fixtures.
Yes, lads, it's David Moyler. The song I did for my initiation was Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight. Because a heavy to the hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bam bam boogie, to up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. I'm more of a FIFA man. I'm awful at Fortnite. Because a hip, hop, a heavy, to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bam, bam, boogie, say up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. I don't hate Alan Pardew, even though he did headbutt me. Because a hip, hop, a heavy, to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bam, bam, boogie, say up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test, I'm revving to the beat. And me, the groove, and it's gone. Bye.
Now, delighted to say we're joined by Lee Stacey of Longford. Lee, great to have you on. Obviously, we want to keep this chat as much involved in First Division and previewing the football there as we possibly can. But there's been so much happening in the off-season with the First Division. It's been a little bit of a mess. And I suppose we want to know what it's been like for the players in all of this going on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, lads. Yeah, finally we have some clarity on the fixtures and things like that. So it was very uncertain for a while and we didn't know what was happening with Shields and what have you and who was actually going to be in the league. But our main focus was that four set of fixtures and we've been working hard towards that for the whole of pre-season, really.
Yeah, and Shamrock Rovers B obviously coming up as your first game of the season. What are your thoughts on the B team being given the all clear? And I suppose in sort of a what felt like a knee-jerk way without sort of talking to the clubs about it first.
Well, I know a lot of the fourth division clubs aren't happy at all, to be honest with you. And there's a couple of reasons why, I'm sure. But from my personal opinion, I think it's a good idea. I think it will make the league stronger with some top teams. Obviously, like Rovers will be, they'll have a lot of young players, but they'll be well organised and they'll have great coaches and the best facilities and everything. So it's also a nice Dublin fixture for us and an opportunity to play in probably one of the best stadiums in Ireland, the League of Ireland level. So, personally, I think it's a positive and it's a great platform for younger players to actually express themselves. Whereas when I finished at 19s with Shamrock Rovers, I didn't have an opportunity to play anywhere else and I dropped out of the league for a couple of years. So, for them young lads, it's a great chance.
Interesting to hear you say that because I suppose we've not really heard too many positive sides of you know, bar from maybe the Shamrock Rovers fans, but would you say are you one of the few people? Have you talked to your teammates? Is there a bit of a negative feeling? Are you one of the people who feels just like that, or is that sort of well held view?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't like to speak on behalf of everyone, but the players I don't think have a huge problem with. It's more the clubs, and there's a couple of reasons why. I won't go into them. I'll let the clubs clarify that. But yeah, I think it's more players like don't really have a problem with it. You know. We just want to get down and start playing football. That's it.
With that in mind, then I can only imagine it didn't really affect your preseason too badly at all. Because I suppose when we think of stuff like that, we think, this disharmony is going to affect teams in their preseason. It was probably more not knowing when the fixtures are going to be that was annoying news.
It was just the fixtures, yeah. For a start, they were late, and then when they were released, like Rovers B, Rovers 2 were in it and we didn't really know what was going on because there was objections. And then when the second fixture list came out with the Shield, we were like, what is this? Like, it's basically pre-season. And that's probably where we were mainly unhappy, that second list. But we were kind of advised to just concentrate on the fourth list. And that's what we've done. And I know people are wondering, are teams going to play against Rovers 2? But we... as far as I know, we're ready to play, you know.
Grand. Well, but all that out of the way then, let's look ahead to the season, because you're amongst a few well-fancy teams battling for promotion there at the moment. You went out on penos to Cabo last year, just, you know, very, very marginally. Andrew in here often talks about how close you were to even getting to one of the last few penos. So I imagine from your point of view and from the rest of the teams, you're all very keen to get started and go one better this year.
Yeah, well... And on another personal view, like that's 2 years in a row I've went out at that stage on penalties. The year before would have been with Shelbourne. Now, obviously, I didn't play, but it was still a huge part of the squad. And I was hoping to use that my experience to help us. But unfortunately, we just dropped short and penalties again. So most of the lads are there. There's only a couple that aren't. And we're going to use that as fuel. And hopefully after signing the couple of lads that we did, we can go one better this year. And we are aiming, obviously, to finish as high as possible. A league title would be our ambition. So, using our experiences from last year, I think we can definitely go one better.
And Lee, obviously you mentioned the league title there, but I suppose maybe last season, Longford probably wouldn't have gone into the season, you know, maybe as the favourites, but maybe this year they probably are with Drogheda. So, does that to maybe bring a different pressure, I suppose, maybe not being one of the chasing pack, but being, I suppose, one of the teams being chased?
I don't think so, really, to be honest with you. Like, last season, I did an interview with Between the Stripes before, just after I signed, and I said, why can't Longford win the league? And if we had just had a little bit more consistency and maybe just if a couple of the games had went the other way, we could have, you know. So I think this year, is it going to be even stronger than last year? Obviously, Shells are gone, but I think it'll be a more level playing ground. And, like, you look at, like, all the sides there, and UCD coming back down, they're always strong. I think Wexford are going to be the best they have been in years. Drogheda are obviously a great side. Bray, like, there's some really good teams. That's going to be tough. And I'm saying, like, we're aiming for the league title, which we are. But it will be a game-by-game basis. Like, we won't be looking much further. I think you have to set goals. And that's a long-term goal, obviously. But that doesn't happen by just saying it. You know, we have to focus game-by-game. And that's what we'll be doing.
And obviously, the new additions to the squad as well. Obviously, I know we've spoken about this before together. But Rob Manley, after coming in from Cabinteely, James English from Shelburne, and you, obviously, are former teammates with him. There's obviously Jack Doherty as well. He's probably one to watch out for the season coming, given that when he just arrived, he was injured. But, you know, the new additions, they're going to be a great boost to the squad.
Yeah, well, I think when you look at Rob Manley last year, first division player of the year, and you look at his record, and particularly any time we played against him, he was different class. So I think when we signed him and signed Dean Bourne back at the same time, they were two huge signings for the team. And if we can get Rob firing at all, which I think we will, like, our style of football will definitely suit him the way he plays. I think we'll have a great chance, because if you can get a goal scorer with 15, 20 goals, a striker, I think you'll definitely have a great chance. And then James English, I think he has over 60 goals in the fourth division, which is incredible, really. He's a great man for finding the back of the net. I know last year wasn't his best year at Shelbourne, but I feel he'll be a great signing for us. And then, as you mentioned, Jack only came to us halfway through the year, so we haven't seen the best of Jack. We've seen glimpses, and again, he's had a little knock in pre-season, but he's back training fully. He's such a talent. Like, he's a really great player.
Just looking back a little bit, you mentioned a moment ago the Shamrock Rovers B element maybe would have helped you develop as a player, because I looking back, obviously, with Shamrock Rovers and a couple of other teams, you would have been second choice for a chunk of your time in the Premier Division. And obviously interested to see you play a lot more recently and become an important player for Longford. But is it difficult to stay on top of your game when you're sort of fulfilling that position? Because I suppose the backup keeper is one of those lesser talked about roles in football. You don't get to play as regularly. It's unlikely you'll come in off the bench. So can it be hard to sort of stay motivated in those times?
Yeah, like, it's tough. It's really tough. So, you're watching games, you know, like, to be fair, the goalkeepers I've played with have been really good, you know. So I've learned a lot. So I'm lucky in ways, but you just think, how can I improve this game, you know, from looking in? It's always easy to look in and say you can do this and that. So to be able to get the chance over the last year to actually show what I can do on the pitch with my performances has been great. But I think, as you said, there is a tough to stay on top of your game when you're not playing. Absolutely. It's really hard to get game sharp. But I was lucky that I was in college in TU Dublin with DIT at the time, and that I'm still studying in. And I was able to play games every week. And that really helped in the season at Shells. Anytime I played, I did well. And the Leinster Senior Cup final is actually where Neil Fenn recognised me fully. I had a decent game, got man the match in that final. And he approached me shortly after that game, and I ended up signing for Longford number one. So since then, it's been great, and I've got to showcase my ability, and I'm just hoping to go one further next year and hopefully add silverware to it.
And obviously, Lee, the college football element to it, so it's how much do you enjoy that? You know, obviously you see it's actually great for players during the off-season that they probably don't have such a long break in fixtures. Like, from your perspective, how you found the college football side of things?
Yeah, unbelievable. Like, we have a semi-final tomorrow in with the college. We're playing IT Carlo, and this very same cup we won 2 years ago, and I'd be captain of that college side now. And I tell the lads every time we're playing this cup, I'm like, you don't realise the impact this cup has had on my career and the confidence it gave me to go and play anytime I got the chance just through playing college football. You're playing a really high standard because a lot of it is League of Ireland players. It's a lot of it's football based. It wouldn't be really long ball or anything like that. So you're getting an opportunity to play decent brand of football. And then when you're called upon, if you were a fringe player, you should really do well because you've been playing regularly enough. So anybody playing college football, I'll always recommend make the most out of it because these opportunities to play don't come around too often for some players. So it's definitely a great platform as well.
So we're finally able to talk about the first game of the season then, your upcoming game, strange enough, against Shamrock Rovers 2 or B or whatever we call them at the moment. Yeah. Is it hard to analyse this one? Because you won't really know, you maybe know a couple of teams around you a bit more, the kind of squad that you will be playing up against. Is it hard to kind of go into this one with any analysis and how do you see it going?
Yeah, well, this is it. Like, the problem with Shamrock Rovers B or 2, whatever we're going to call them, is they haven't released a squad list and we don't know who's playing for them. Like, obviously, it's not likely that Jack Bourne or Aaron McInniff or Graham Bourke or any of the likes of them will be playing, but there are some really good players in the first team that wouldn't be first team in the first 11. So there's every chance they could be playing. Like, I'm hearing a couple of rumours on Dylan Watts and things like that. And they're top players, you know, and we don't really know what to expect. So we're going to just focus on ourselves, really. And obviously, we know we're going to come up against a well-organised side who will definitely be able to play a nice brand of football. But I think the main focus is on what we do and we're not too worried about anyone else. And that will go for the rest of the season, really. And whoever we're playing, our main focus is on how we set up and what we want to achieve during the game. So that's what we'll be doing, really, focusing on ourselves.
Great stuff. Well, Lee, thanks so much for taking the call and best of luck for the year ahead.
All right. Thanks, lads. Thanks for having me.
Gareth Penrose isn't exactly Alexander Graham Bell. But the Dubliner did bring Irish football into the modern era with the establishment of extratime.ie.
Hello, Extra Time. Thanks for your support. You are the 12th man.
So in some ways, Penrose is a pioneer. The website has evolved to include radio opinion pieces, coverage of women's football, and a regular podcast.
Greg Bolger, as a player of some technical ability, that some is probably a bit disingenuous to yourself.
Just some.
Well, here's something back, Mr. Penrose. Thank you.
And I don't do it so they turn around and go, "Well, thank you, David. Thank you for the laughs." I do it so one day someone will go, "There goes David Brent. I must remember to thank him."
It's a pretty interesting point from Lee that I didn't really think of, Andrew. The players looking forward to going playing in good facilities and up against a good standard. And yeah, it's not really something I considered. I was expecting them to toe the club line and be a bit annoyed.
I can see where he's coming from, certainly. Yeah. You know, like even as like from a fan's perspective as well, like you're, you know, going to Talla it's a bit nicer going to Talla than it is to going to some other first division grounds that wouldn't have the same kind of aura as Talla Stadium would have. And obviously, like I supported Longford for a long time. I would have remembered going to Talla during the year in 2014. We actually got promoted that year, but you would have remembered going to Tal. I think we were actually beaten, but yeah, we'll forget about that. But yeah, no, look, it's much nicer going to Tal than it is going to some other grounds. But look, then again, the way it's been done has been been farcical,
but
really.
It's just not one of the things I'd have put on the pros cons list because I'd have sort of scooted past that and gone, "Oh, look at this outrage." But as you said, when you break it down, it might be an enjoyable experience rather than busting it up here or there. Although, I mean, they're replacing Limerick, so it wouldn't have exactly been an absolute arduous journey. It's 2 hours down or something like that from Dublin to Limerick. But you know what I mean. We know what I'm getting at anyway. It's definitely an interesting perspective. We'll have to maybe look into that a bit more next few weeks. Right, lads, quick preview of the upcoming games then. I think the outstanding one, given who's in the room, is Longford Town versus Shamrock Rovers B. McGar, will you be making the trip down?
I'm not going on the Supporters Club bus, actually. Tala, so I think that it'll be a sizable. I might wait for the Cabin Teely Shamrock Rovers 2 Dublin Derby.
Oh, yeah.
Time. I think that might be.
Treated to all these Dublin Derbies this year.
Yeah. So not so. But it is. Well, that's if. I presume Longford are going to fulfil this fixture. They're not going to boycott.
Yeah, this we haven't even talked about this.
I assume so, yeah. I can't see it not.
How strong is this boycott feeling likely? Because it seems to have faded away now, which is disappointing because I was kind of looking forward to just seeing how long it would last.
Well, it'd be more goals than we got in the Premier League. It was all 1-0, so we'd get some 3-0s.
Would a season ticket get you into that?
Season ticket for. Well, Shamrock Rovers season ticket does both.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Have a think about going down if you've got it. Like, I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
Well, I don't think I'd use a Tala season ticket in Longford. No. I think you need to pay.
Yeah, that's what I meant, though. Yeah, obviously. But you know what I mean? In next, when it's a home game, eventually.
Yeah, I think Rovers, I think last year maybe sold about 1,500 season tickets, and this year they're more than 2,200.
Right.
I don't think that's on the back of the double games they've got since.
Yeah, I think it's actually bang for your buck kind of thing.
But because the attendances were not particularly good the last time it happened. But yeah, I think everyone's interested to see what kind of team Rovers will have, and I think everyone else will be. If you're not a Shamrock Rovers fan, they'll be
keen to
everyone
see them
will be cheering for Longford.
Yeah,
and I think throughout the season, I think opposition fans will be hoping that Rovers 2 get stuffed every week.
As a man with no club this season, I've no other choice but to but to cheer on support every other team.
Longford.
Yeah, well, every other team. Well then, I assume are you going to be down covering this one, Andrew? Are you down for the first of the season?
I take it. Yeah, I'll probably be down there on Saturday.
What do you think? Off to a good start, even though it's hard enough to analyse a team at this point from Shamrock Rovers.
I don't know. I think I say. Probably not a comfortable enough win, but
a win for all of football is what you could say. You know what I mean? Elsewhere, there's a couple of interesting fixtures. I think Cove Ramblers and Drogheda. Maybe this kind of puts your the test on what you were saying about Cove. If they can cope with this early on, this could be one of those sort of moments for them that look, we're not lying down this season. At home, much of a chance?
Certainly, yeah. I think maybe if they got a point there, that'd be a good start. Obviously, Drogheda probably won't want to lose that game either, so we'll see how that one goes. But I think the most interesting one of the weekend is Bray against Capantilly again.
I was just going to say two of the teams obviously said under the radar.
The Pat Devon Derby. Yeah, El Dartico, as they call it. But, yeah.
Bray to win that one then?
I'd say go draw.
Draw on that one. Okay, Galway at Lone and then Wexford. UCD, we've sort of written both of these. I think Galway I'd be expecting Galway to start quite well and take it at Lone, even though the home buzz we talked about earlier will be back, people will be flocking down there. And Wexford UCD, again, probably just gives us a bit of time to evaluate what UCD are like and figure out exactly how they look.
Yeah, probably a draw.
Probably. Just got draw across the board because we can't really tell because we've not had a game yet. Right, gentlemen, thank you very, very much for joining us. As usual, get us on... at Extra Time News on Twitter, Facebook, extratimelive@gmail.com to send us in an email. And you know what? Start up the hashtag ET Sportscast, because we're not going to use the Twitter anymore this year, the main Twitter. Or you can just hassle me directly. You can find me there somewhere. And Dave, always get in and give him more. I'm sure we'll get a First Division prediction out of him for the league this year, and he'll get a bunch more fans irritated.
We're not getting one,
though. Yeah, we will. Well, do you want to do one now? Right, go on. We'll go for one now. We'll round it off.
Well, I've said I think Drogheda are going to...
Well, this is presumed there's no walkovers, because then Shamrock Rovers to the title. But
Drogheda, and then I'm not going to predict the increased playoffs, but maybe Longford Town and runners-up spot. But as to whether they'll get promoted or not, I don't know.
I think Longford are going to do it this year, Andrew. I think Longford win the division. You'd be happy to know. I'm going to go Galway second... Drogheda third, Bray fourth, and then probably Cabo, UCD, Shamrock Rovers.
You have to pick one.
No, I'm doing the table
sorry,
all the way down.
I thought you meant that was offered just.
No. Longford to win it, and probably Anyway, what did I say? Shamrock Rovers B at Lone, Wexford, whatever way you want. And that's. I don't think Rovers will have it all their own way down there.
It's the longest outro to
podcast
ever.
Well, you asked me to give you. I've given you the 10. Look, I don't even have to text you now. You can write this up and put it in the First Division previews. Who do you think wins it, and who do you think gets to the playoffs then?
Longford to win it.
Two for Longford.
But you are talking to a Longford supporter, take that with a pinch of salt. But I think playoffs probably go away, Drogheda, Bray, and it's a toss-up between Cabo and Cove.
No UCD.
No.
Right, fair enough. Gents, thank you very much. We'll leave it there.